Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
All right, this guest is hella good. Mark Cabali, everybody. Who is now speaking like, who is it, Steve Buscemi?
Hello, fellow teens.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Hella because, good? What
well,
is that?
Well, Doran yeah. responded to something I wrote and said, I don't know if he said cap or something. I don't know what he said. Mm-hmm. It wasn't cap. It was something else.
He's using kid lingo.
Yes, so.
So you wanted to start being cool and using kid lingo.
So I used hella good.
Who's hella good, by the way?
I don't even know where that came from.
I think it was all a joke. Did a song called Hella Good.
Who were you saying was hella good?
Jaquan Brisker.
Yeet.
Yeet.
Did you actually mean that about Brisker?
Yeah,
or
I think
just trying to find use hella good in a post?
No.
Mason Rudolph is a hella good quarterback. Is hella good at playing quarterback.
Maybe it was just a typo. No. I thought he looked very... You know, when you look at OTAs...
You have to take it with a grain of salt?
Take it with a grain of salt, especially the younger guys. But then you see guys who have been around a while, and you can see things differently. Just how he reads plays, how quickly he gets to the ball, and just his over where they're using him at.
Yep,
you could tell that they're moving him around a little bit, and you're thinking
Falcons have three receivers on the field the first play. Who are the two safeties, and who are the three corners?
Well, you're going to do Elliott and Brisker, and you're going to have Ramsey, Dean, and.
Okay, so
Porter.
So Ramsey's the nickel guy.
I think Ramsey will move around. I think,
but for that play though, you have
that
him
configuration.
At nickel.
Yeah, probably if Pitts is on the field. Is Pitts considered your receiver or no?
If you want to, Mark, sure. Just
well, I'm just saying.
Are those safeties going to be split, or is one going to be rolled down into the box? Because
I think
God forbid
we
get beat by the run.
No, I think they want to be split safeties, but I think they're going to move around a lot. I think Brisker's too talented to. Just keep him back and say, you got the left side, you got the right side of the field. He can blitz, he can...
Who plays more, Brisker or Elliott?
See, the Elliott injury is... It's been very quiet, right? I mean, I think he talked the other day.
Is that a bad thing in this case? Quiet can sometimes be a good thing. Is that a bad thing?
He might need still some time to be 100% healthy. I thought he said on a podcast earlier in the year that it was... pretty significant injury. We know how there was talk that he might come back last year late.
Yeah.
I don't think that was ever really the case. Okay. But here's the thing about Brisker. $5.5 million?
Today's NFL, that's a bargain.
Why do you think bargains like that are able to be had? I know that safety is not a positional value one, but still, like, you would think 30 other teams or thereabouts would be like, yeah, this guy was pretty good.
Or the Bears would want him back.
Or the Bears would just say, we want him back.
I think the Bears had a lot of new guys in their secondary, and he was expendable. I think they were moving on from those guys. But I think you look at his market value, at least with Spot Track, whatever you call it, it was 11 mm-hmm. and a half, which is you get him for 5.5. Maybe it's a prove it year and go get paid more money. But you're right, it's all positional. You either got the upper echelon ones that get paid a ton of money, like Minka, or you got those mid level guys. Same with off ball linebackers. That's why I don't think the Steelers are very interested in drafting one.
Or how about giving
Patrick Queen
an extension?
Yeah, just go up and find yourself a Brisker-like off-ball linebacker next year.
Question from Vinny. Now, I know this is in the YouTube chat. This is an X's and O's question. No, it's a real one, Pony.
It's not Johnny the Barber asking why Mark hates Ohio
Will
State
Howard,
players
yeah.
so much.
Or saying, are you ready to catch this barber smoke, which he has said to me. You know what he logs in now every time when he comes on the show as a YouTube chatter.
Did he change his name?
It's at That Barber Smoke, but he comes on now and he says, hey, Mulzy, did I miss your daily Will Howard hate segment? That's his first greeting. Anyway, no, this guy Vinny with a real question. Now, we all know, Mark, that they're probably going to be in sub-package football a lot, like mm-hmm. Nick, 5 DBs, but... Mm-hmm. On rare occasions where they might be in a more traditional 3-4 and then 4 secondary look, who are the 4 DBs there? Is it automatically just Porter, Dean, Elliott, Brisker? Or does Ramsey stay out there?
Ramsey, I think, would move to safety would be my guess.
So then you go, this guy's suggestion was Porter, Ramsey, Elliott, Brisker, no Dean out there.
I guess it would be situational, too. If it's
but the way
down,
they're paying
down,
Dean would make you think he's going to be out there all the time.
So wouldn't it mean
time?
Elliott's the odd man out?
Elliott or Brisker?
Depending on down. We're talking first and 10, first play.
We don't know how this coaching staff feels about Elliott.
He's just asking in general. Like, say you're not in the goal line. You're in, like, a normal part of the field, and for whatever reason,
we don't know if these coaches like Elliott.
You're right. But, well, at least the scouting staff liked him because they're the one that brought him in. And he did play well 2 years ago.
He did play really
well.
Yep.
So you would have to give him the benefit of the doubt right now. But you're right. If you're just going straight normal defense, I don't want to take Jalen Ramsey off the field. I don't. And you have to keep Dean and Porter on the field as well. So
yeah,
maybe
one of the safeties would come out.
Maybe it would be Brisker. Maybe it would be Elliott. Right now, I would say you have to keep Brisker on, but he could be the odd man out.
Speaking of guys like Ramsey, Queen, we've mentioned him already. Now you're free to do this. You don't have to pull any punches or be worried about somebody wanting to, like, you know, throttle you at the facility.
Who's going to throttle me?
No, I know.
If they do.
Jim Wechsel?
Well, no, you would just say that you were, no, I'm not that radio host.
How about Wechsel, Mark? He's done that. He's got some history of that.
No, Wex is actually mellowed in his older age.
No, this is a team employee. Team employee who would have been throttling you for what I'm about to ask you.
Well, I'll be rich then.
Good. Mark wants it.
Mark
says, bring it on.
Genuine question here. In your opinion, because we've heard so many of these guys, Darius Slay went on a podcast and kind of talked. He blamed Mike Tomlin straight up, but we've heard a lot of them talk about how the communication wasn't good last year and how they think it's going to be better this year, it seems. How much of their problems on that side of the ball do you think now, in retrospect, can be attributed to Mike Tomlin? Whether it be the weird way that they were getting signals in and that or anything else.
I think a lot of it was him butting in, you know, at certain times to confuse people where, you know, maybe Ter Austin's calling plays for the majority of the time, then he jumps in and they're confused of what they really want to do. So, plus, you know, Tomlin's the one that came up with the scheme as well or the game plan for that particular day. So I would say some. I wouldn't blame it all on him. Of course, because these are high level athletes that have to take some blame.
It is funny. Like Pony brought up the Slay thing earlier in the show when we were just kind of kicking it around.
How vanilla the goal line defense was.
How vanilla it was, and that it's interesting to me because usually the complaints do come from guys who don't have a lengthy history here. Like Queen will sound off on being frustrated because he came over from somewhere else. Slay obviously was in a place where they do almost everything right. And then you hear guys who've been here their whole careers and Tomlin's all that they know as a head coach and a defensive guy. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the best. He's great. And he knows how to get through. Guys who have been elsewhere don't come in and then sing like the exact same praises.
Yeah, you look at somebody like Queen because he came in, like you said, from a high-level defense. And he was probably hearing a lot of stuff about the Steelers and Mike Tomlin's defense. And he was probably looking at this and saying, oh, what's going on here now? Because this is not what I really signed up for, too. I think you've seen that a number of times as well, where who knows what the scheme would be, what they ask him to do. But I think it might have been a little outdated to the fact that they probably have never seen anything like that before. And the communication has been an issue. It has been an issue for a while. The communication issues lead to the big plays, and the big plays lead to the touchdowns, and you would hope that that gets better this year. I don't think there's a problem with Patrick Queen communicating. I always find that weird. I don't know about you guys. How hard is it to be a green daughter? You get the play called into you and you relay it to the six people in front of you.
I would imagine, though, some of what you, after you relay the basic stuff, is like based on what the offense is showing you.
Yeah.
And it's making sure that you've got the calls to adjust to whatever the formation is so everybody knows what their assignment is.
Yeah, but like, Mark, you should actually do a Twitter story on that.
What's that?
The green dot. How hard is it? Talk to him. Get your guy Cole Holcomb.
Oh, yeah.
Sit down with him and have him tell you about the green dot responsibilities.
First, we'd have to be allowed to be in the locker room to talk
to
somebody.
For the record here.
He'd have to be allowed to cover a practice.
Yeah, for the record, I know Pony.
Man, I got a lot of hell from that, by the way.
From who?
From who?
I'm not going to say. About I put that out there.
Oh, yeah.
That you guys weren't there this week.
That's the power of Pony, though. I kind of ripped them for that, too, and did not hear anything.
And then made you go there for a day there wasn't practice.
You know what? To be honest with you, I didn't go today because I wasn't going there for 20 minutes of a stretch.
By the way, all the kidding aside about how they are restricting media access in a way that I find to be pretty shameful, if I'm just going to be
It is.
And extremely frustrating if they want people talking about the team, but they don't want people actually covering the team. What he said about the green dot, I would read that story.
Yeah, here's the thing about they're not doing anything against league policies. they've went above and beyond letting us in all these practices. Nobody does that. So I think they're just catching up with the times.
And let me just be more blunt about it and then less directly critical of them. The league's policies on this suck.
Yeah.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
4:15, time to start your weekend off right with our guy Archie and his famous wings on the South Side. Mark Cabali in studio. Sometimes he's on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Speaking of 50 years, you could probably count on one hand, maybe two hands at most, the number of Steelers assistant coaches who have been fired. Not just had their contracts run out, had been straight up fired. Matt Canada, midseason. Al Everest.
Mount Everest.
Yeah, there were some interesting things said about that whole situation. And now a Steelers assistant special teams coach, Mark.
Who I've never met in my life because they don't introduce us. So I honestly, if he walked in here right now, I wouldn't know who he was.
What would have to happen for somebody to get fired?
For what was not criminal from what we heard. It was team policy violation.
Yes.
You
office misconduct.
Is that what it said?
That's what ESPN is reporting.
Wow. Well, Schefter's thing said violation of team policy. Then I think Brooke tweeted out something to the effect that it was like office misconduct related, i.e. ruling
workplace misconduct.
Yeah, i.e. ruling out necessarily that there was some criminal thing that happened outside the bounds of the team.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I hate to speculate on somebody's firing, but look at Al Everson and what he got fired for. I'm not saying this guy did the same thing, but it's going to be something in that ballpark probably, right?
Allegedly.
I'm not saying he's, like I said, I have absolutely no idea.
Allegedly,
I don't even know
I am drinking from a bottle right now. To
Mark, what?
I don't know. I don't think it's much of a loss.
Yeah.
Assistant special teams coach that breaks down some special teams film. I'm sure they can find somebody else. But for them to do it, obviously, it wasn't something that was just.
It wasn't something that you say, hey, like, this is a warning. Don't do it again. It was, or he did it multiple times. They did warn him, and he did it again. They fired him. I don't know. We don't have all the details yet.
I'm doubt if we will ever get the details.
Well, we kind of got the El Everest details.
Yeah, I can't remember how that happened. Allegedly,
he said that he had a philosophical difference with Mike Tomlin.
In a way, he
that
wasn't,
came to a head a week before the season started.
In a way, he wasn't necessarily lying. His philosophy for how to behave on the job was one thing, and Mike's was
allegedly.
Something very different.
Allegedly.
Mark, is your guy Mason Rudolph still in the driver's seat to be the Steelers' backup quarterback two weeks into OTAs?
Boy, people love to put that Aaron Rodgers 99.9% chance of yes, but I'm not going to go that high. I'm going to give it a good 80% chance of him being a backup come September 13th.
What would have to happen for the 20% to hit? Like, what when you say 80%, so you're allowing for a 20% chance that he's not. What does that situation look like?
I think it's only one situation. Will Howard's going to.
Oh, no. I don't mean like Drew Aller takes it. I think he's pretty clear. It's either Will Howard or Mason Rudolph.
Yes.
Like, just, but what would have to happen between now and then? Like, try to sketch out a picture of how that would have to look in terms of on field performance and everything else for them to get to that point.
Well, he's going to have to. I think a lot of it's going to have to do with the preseason games. He's going to have to show or prove to whoever makes these decisions, McCarthy, Arth, Angelico, whoever it is, that they can trust him coming into a game and saving a season for a game or two if needed to be. And that's the bottom line here. If you're going all in, man, if you're going all in with this season, and they've already proven that they are, I mean, Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be back. They wouldn't have spent 100 and some million in free agency if they were worried about next year. You have to cover your rear end with a 42, 43-year-old quarterback, unless Will Howard makes a jump that I wouldn't expect. I would feel a lot better if Will Howard had all of training camp last year, all of preseason last year, And the majority of the regular season practices, I think he'd be in a much better opportunity.
I think they'd be looking for an excuse to give him the backup job if that was the case, Mark.
I just think as we're sitting here right now, I think it's going to be hard for Mike McCarthy to move on from Mason
Rudolph. Has Will Howard looked better than Mason Rudolph in these OTAs?
No.
No.
I mean, honestly, you can't tell. They all look good. They're all pro quarterbacks. I mean, me and you, Malzy, can throw the ball. Maybe not me, but we can throw the ball well in this situation.
Didn't Paxton Lynch, even in these situations, look so horrible?
No,
that, like, he couldn't. Yeah. Like, you're like, oh, my God, somebody spent a first-round pick on that guy.
It would be like one-on-ones. It would be just individuals. He'd be selling it 30 feet over people's heads. Like, what is this?
Well, I'm more along the lines of you because I made fun of what Tom Arth said, and then Ben DiNucci got mad at me.
That's tough, man. Because what do you want him to say?
Well, don't blow smoke up my ass so much. They're with not Will Howard.
But if he says, hey, you know what, he has a long way to go, then you're going
to
come on.
No, you can
and
find a middle ground to say he exceeded all of our expectations. What the hell were your expectations in OTAs? How can someone blow you away in OTAs? I don't understand that part, Mark.
You don't.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, and a former NFL quarterback got mad at me for it. I'm like, Ben, what the frick are you talking about, dude? You can't knock somebody off their feet in OTAs. You just can't. So don't say that if you're the coach.
Yeah, but I think they're just playing it safe. They don't want to bring
that's
any
not playing it safe.
No, I'm saying negativity-wise. If you're assistant coach, the last thing you want to do is stir anything up, as in Ramon Chinyong the
other
day,
but
right?
Mark,
where he made this comment saying, well, I wish he wouldn't have said that.
We need to get to this number, yeah. But why do they keep it's an organizational policy. They keep creating outsized expectations for Will Howard, and they do it all the time. And I know you don't actually believe it.
Maybe confidence-wise, that's the only thing I can think of, because I still don't believe.
You think he's going to be on the practice squad, don't you?
I think they should keep four. I think there's 0% chance that happens, but okay. I think they should.
Okay, so if they don't keep four, what happens? He's on the practice squad, or they make up some injury, right? Those are the two options.
Or he goes somewhere else.
Or
he plays just well enough that you can trade Mason.
Man, you just said 80% chance Mason's
That's what I don't think that's the
case. That would be one hell of a needle to try to thread in terms of evaluating a guy's preseason performance, because anybody, like people who I don't know, have put too much stock in preseason performances prior and been burnt for it, could just say it's the
preseason. We all got burnt by that.
I did. It could just say
it's
the preseason. Why are you going to put so much stock in that? Why are you going to make a big decision for the rest of the year based on that?
I'm just under the impression, why in the world – it's the most important position. You got two quarterbacks you're trying to develop. Would it really kill you if the 10th offensive lineman or the 4th tight end is on the practice squad and you can move him back and forth for game days if you need him?
Mark, it's actually a really good point by you.
I mean, for a one-year thing here.
Now, most teams have actually done the opposite. They only keep two quarterbacks. Yeah. But the way that Brady survived his first year in the league, Chris, was because he was the 4th quarterback for New England. They actually kept an extra quarterback. Yeah.
Mark, if you can tell me who the other quarterback was besides Bledsoe and I think Zolak on that team.
It wasn't Zolak.
Not Zolak.
Doug Flutie?
No.
Michael Bishop.
And John Freeze.
Oh, Kansas
the other,
State, right?
And John Freeze was the other one.
That's right.
Or maybe
John Freeze
David
went to the Chargers.
I think it might have been Heward Pony, but you know I wanted to get a Michael Bishop reference.
I wrote some story about this, keep a 4th quarterback, and your buddy Ken Carman says, please do it. They should know because they were
– Mark, I –
Cleveland tried to do it 2 weeks, 2 years in a row, and then they – backed out
on
the last
with
moment.
I'm actually with you. You make a I know we're kind of joking around here, but you make a compelling argument. What do you want to do? Keep all these quarterbacks you're trying to develop on the roster, mm-hmm. or keep like a random offensive lineman that chances are isn't going to get plucked
Andrews,
and can be
Pete, right?
Yeah, can be
that type of guy.
Can be just shuttled back and forth on that hypothetical
it's new
bus.
Rules. The 16 you got 16 people on the practice squad, and you can bring
me.
Guy up three times and back and forth before he has to clear waivers. If you need
me.
Somebody, do it.
You sold me.
But it's not going to happen. McCarthy's never done it. He's had just as many times he's kept two quarterbacks as three quarterbacks in his 18.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Years.
Kabali, Steelers insider Pat McAfee show in studio with us. waxing poetic about Austin Bechtold during the break. The Berg Proud Challenge gaining momentum. We need you. Join Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank along with Pens, Pirates, and Steelers by moving 30 miles this June. Even Harry Callis can do it. And you can grab a one-of-a-kind Berg Proud shirt featuring all three black and gold logos when you start a fundraising campaign and raise your first $25. Plus, your contribution goes twice as far thanks to a matching grant from the Richard King Mellon Foundation. Sign up today, pittsburghfoodbank.org/odysseypgh. Mark, Ray Fittipaldo has been watching practice with you.
Oh, yeah.
He projected this to be the Steelers' week one offensive line.
I agree. No.
Okay. Left tackle, Troy Fautanu. Yep. Left guard, Mason McCormick.
Yep.
Center, Zach Frazier.
Yes.
Right guard, Spencer Anderson.
Yes.
Right tackle, Dylan Cook.
Yes. Ugh. Me and him think alike. We're talking about week one, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Week four might be a little
now
different.
Now, why aren't
Maxi
the rookies
in by week four?
Here's a Campinson.
Before or after week four, Maxi Honichor starting right tackle?
I think it's going to depend on Dylan Cook.
I know, but just guess how that's going to turn out.
I think Dylan Cook will be solid enough right now.
Now, are
to
we going
to
get
hold
into
that
a
down
Dan?
For
are
a
we
going to
get
bit?
Into a Dan Moore, Broderick Jones situation where just suddenly the rookie never gets in?
I mean, if you listened to Campin the other day, he left the door open for Honichor starting the season. Right? He says once I get to camp, and he's going to keep continue to go against different type of pass rushers like Heisman, Sawyer, Herbig, Watt, we'll be able to glean a lot from him real quickly here, and if he can make that jump really quick, I find that hard. Hard to imagine he would make that jump because they put pads on August 3rd, and the first game is August 15th, and they have to cut down by August 3rd. He basically got 3 weeks to impress them. I think that's just too much.
But why would this coaching staff give Cook the benefit of the doubt when he wasn't the guy that came on for them last year and he's got zero pedigree whatsoever, and they're going to move him to a new position?
Yeah, I think he played there. I mean, he was a swing tackle for a couple of years, so he knows how to play.
Well, he didn't play in NFL games there. He practiced there.
I think they like what they saw last year. I don't think you can look at what he did last year and just dismiss that. I think.
Well, right, Mark, but it's at a different position now.
Well, if a Honichor if they feel comfortable, I'm not throwing in the guy in there just because he's a first-round pick. I want to throw him in there and make sure he's established a little bit. I mean, Fautanu was a little bit of a different breed, I think, than a Honichor, because he played
a lot more
level, a lot more played on.
They clearly think Honichor, though, despite the whole he's barely played football, is less raw than Jones they talk about him.
Well, I'm not a big believer in high school football making a difference if you're a
really talented guy.
What are we talking about? He went to JUCO for 2 years. He played a high level at Arizona State for 2 years. If there was any bad habits. There probably isn't any. He probably had some decent coaching. So I'm not a big fan of – I mean, look at Jones. Look at Jones. What do you have, 10 starts coming in here?
Let's hope he got better coaching at Arizona State than Drew Aller did, evidently, because Ben's freaking out over what happened with Aller at practice, saying he's very nervous, extremely nervous. He's
basically,
doing youth camp football stuff.
Yeah, you're teaching youth football camp things.
How about
to this
that,
guy.
Mark?
You agree with your buddy now, Mosey? Is this the first time ever?
No, I've agreed with him on some stuff in the past, and I think that bothers him probably and makes him reevaluate his own positions, uncomfortable place for him to be. I did point out, I think he said something right after it that softened it a little bit, but it was still noteworthy that he was like, hey, these are things you teach like a 7-year-old kid. You know what I said to it was, if Drew Aller was just a more productive college player, no one would bat an eyelash at some of this. You know why? Fernando Mendoza went 1-1. They got to teach him how to take snaps under center, period.
Yeah, that's.
But Drew Aller peed down his leg in every big game he played in, and so this kind of stuff, when it happens, is going to get talked about more.
Yeah, but, you know, McCarthy's had a history. We know it. That's why they brought him on. He can.
Of doing this stuff with guys.
Yes, so. Yeah. I'm willing to see how it works. Let's see if he can be that quarterback whisperer and turn a guy that has a ton of raw talent into talent that you can go out there and get something from. I mean, we just don't know right now.
Now, do you agree with other Steelers insiders that if a third-round pick that has been a bust so far is going to make an impact on this team, it's more likely to be Roman Wilson than Caleb Johnson? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, because I think Roman Wilson has a better shot to see playing time than Caleb Johnson right now. That's not meaning I'm getting rid of Caleb Johnson.
Well, Hathorn wanted to cut him on Monday and let Eli play.
Oh.
And you got mad at Jeff, and then Mulsey said, well, Mark doesn't buy the feel-good story with Eli. Mark thinks he's going to end up on the practice squad.
He's absolutely destined for the practice squad, which is nothing wrong with that. I mean, a lot of people went the practice squad route. I think Jalen Warren went the practice squad route to come up here. I don't think anybody's going to grab him off of there. I mean, so, no, you keep a guy that you see nothing from last year. We don't know. All we know is he doesn't know the rules on kickoffs. Right? What do we know how he runs the ball?
But the point that Faribault, he's a volume back. And
though,
the point that Faribault made was he's potentially a third string running back that gives you nothing in special teams, can't catch the ball out of the backfield, and can't pick up like blitzers. He doesn't do any of the things that you want a depth running back to do.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was your running back?
Do you disagree
pick?
With that, Mark?
No, I don't disagree with that. But you do go, I think, is this Jalen Warren's final year? I still keep him around. That's a guy, if you put on the practice squad, he's gone. I mean, he's not going to clear waivers. There's no way that happens. So he might be the guy you just, you know, stash on the roster and make him inactive every single – he's not going to be a kick returner.
Man.
He's not going to be a punt returner. But I think the talent's there enough that you have to hold on to him because
now
he fits the mold of the Dottles and the Warrens. He's
now
a big, strong guy.
Exactly. Now, what happened with Aaron Rodgers shaving his head? He did shave it?
No, that's total fake.
Did you get tricked by AI?
No, I didn't. I told you yesterday that Dove Kleiman tweeted this out, and then Mark debunked it.
Yeah, because, you know, I got a heads up like at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's like, hey, did this really happen? I'm like, I doubt it. Because if you saw the photo, it was obviously from training camp.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't at the Southside facility, so.
But when did Aaron Rodgers even have a shaved head with the Steelers? Never.
It might not have been him. I think they put, like, somebody said Jordy Nelson's face on him. That's what he looked like. I mean, you look at that. We're looking at, like, millions of views on that, too. People are whacker. You know why? Because it was just good enough where, well, maybe he did do this because the tattoo was there. But instantly, I'm like, that's a training camp. Whoops. I just knocked something over. It was a training camp. So.
Don't you love it that this is now part of your job?
What?
Like, reacting to internet hoaxes and fake pictures and things like that.
Honestly, if you read the comments, it was just terrible. I'm like, the guy getting raked over the coals for something he didn't do.
Aaron Rodgers was getting raked over the coals for cutting his hair?
Yeah, they were saying he looked like, well.
Bald is beautiful, Mark.
No, I'm talking about some political beliefs and stuff like that. So it was like, wait, he has nothing to do with this.
I'll turn down the temperature here. Big Earn 69 on YouTube says, Kabali, is your son still taking giant dumps?
Yeah, of course.
Why is that of course? It's not like we're doing a daily check-in to see if it's still happening.
I'll just tell you this. It hasn't blocked it up a lot. So there.
So you
have
higher-powered toilets now at the new house?
I think a little bit more fiber in the diet, maybe. So it's not getting clogged.
I'm just imagining the episode of South Park where Randy Marsh, is like trying to make the biggest dump in the world and stops eating fiber.
I tell you what, though.
How old's your son?
Just turned 9.
So he's about to be at the age.
A football free agent? Well, isn't he trying to find a spot?
He's going to be at the age where that bedroom is going to smell horrible.
I was just going to bring that up.
Because Lennox is 7, and I went in there to just like pop open the shades after he went to school yesterday.
Yes.
And I was like, oh no, it's already started. Like the vague whiff of like a kid who stinks and is just, you know.
I walk in there and I'm like, first of all, did you fart? No. I said, your feet stink. The feet are unbelievable smell. The whole room is just disgusting.
I know a guy that doesn't have body odor, so he doesn't use deodorant. And in his 20s.
How does he know that he doesn't have body odor?
Everyone
says you smell like a rose.
Including the person he's married to.
Yeah.
And he didn't shower for an entire year.
What?
Yeah.
So he would sweat, though? And
no,
like,
that's the thing. There's something about his body where he doesn't sweat. And I said,
like,
you should get that
looked
at.
Does he have like alopecia, like Charlie Villanueva?
No. No.
Well, no. I
he
think
might
like
have Native American blood in his body, and I guess there's something genetically
where there
you can look into where
sweat.
Native Americans sweat less.
I think you can get away with not taking a shower for that long.
For an entire year.
But you have to hit the certain spots.
And he said he'd play a whole high school football game and not sweat.
See, that doesn't.
That seems unnatural.
I agree.
Also, just chafing I would worry about, bacterial growth. Like, showers can clean you, not just clean you, make you smell better, clean the bacteria.
But I said to his wife, is it possible he has a musk and he is just desensitized to it because he smells it all the time? You know, the olfactory fatigue.
They call it nose blindness. Yeah.
And she said no. There's no odor.
He
does not use deodorant and never has.
He sneaks in some of the armpits.
It sounds like she would smell it, though, if he's not using anything else.
Well, what I'm
cologne?
Saying is...
No. I honestly think this person's body should be donated to science because
so
it's a medical marvel.
The best smelling man in the world.
I don't know if he's good smelling, but he's not bad
smelling.
Don't you
think if he doesn't use cologne, that means his wife thinks his natural odor or lack thereof is good?
Yes.
Can't be tracked by dogs so he could go commit crimes and go on
the run. I think he sneaks into the bathroom and uses a wash rag.
He said he cuts the grass in 85-degree weather and does not sweat.
I just did that today and I couldn't even walk upstairs. I smelled so bad.
That's what I mean.
Well, no, he's got to have shower. Like,
how do you go a year without showering?
Get him on the horn.
Tony, if he cuts the grass, doesn't he have grass stains all over his feet so he'd want to just clean those off?
Well, this was back in his 20s he went a whole year. He showers now.
Oh, out of courtesy to everybody else for no apparent reason.
But no deodorant.
Let me tell you something about the deodorant game. Big discovery for me. Bad armpit sweater back in the day. Just a lot of people are. I stopped using the ones that are antiperspirant and deodorant. And just went to deodorant. Very counterintuitive. No more armpit sweat ever.
She just went with the gold bomb.
I think the antiperspirant part of that game is kind of a,
I also
kind of
think,
like a trick.
I also
mark.
Think 48-hour coverage is complete BS.
Oh, that
there's
I don't
no
believe.
Way it says, when it says 2 days, heck no. You trust it to not do it the next day? That's the first thing I do in the morning is put deodorant on.
If you ever gave the gold bomb a whirl?
The powder?
Yeah.
In like the crotch region?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah, I use that.
I do not.
One time I accidentally used a medicated one. Woo!
Oh, yeah, that stuff with the menthol in it.
It'll burn, baby.
Oh, yeah. No, if you get like chafing when you run or anything, I've had to deal with this. That medicated stuff is like a lifesaver, man.
So wait a minute. So you put powder on your junk and stuff every morning?
No, not every morning. You know, I could tell you a whole story about this. I was covering the Pirates, and Mark Grace was in town for the Diamondbacks, and I went in there, and he just grabbed this gold bar and just threw it all.
Dude,
in his...
I saw Jeff Locke do that
yes!
once.
He walks so I'm like, I'm going to use this.
He walks into the bathroom that's in like full view at the sinks, right? So it's not like he just had sliding shorts on.
Okay.
He pulls those things out like you would in like an old Bugs Bunny cartoon where a guy's like hiding a ham down there to like steal it or something, right?
And just
has his sliding shorts out like a solid foot away.
And
from
just
him.
Pumped Gold Bond.
Yeah,
down
had
there?
Like whatever powder it was, the green bottle one, yes, not the Gold Bond. Like there was a different one, and he's just shaking away. Like
you.
He might as well have took the lid off the thing. Mm. And I'm thinking, who on earth needs that anyway?
Baseball Pony, guys know.
We have an answer from one of the people in the chat. Believe it or not, on your buddy.
Yeah.
This is from Steve, gene ABCC11, okay? And I Googled this, so I wanted to see if he was full of it. Correct, though. The ABCC11 gene is best known as the genetic switch that determines human earwax type and underarm body odor. Now, Steve adds, by the way, in this, Native Americans and East Asians, it typically, if they have this gene, it results in less earwax and significantly reduces the amount of body odor produced by sweat.
I'm telling you, Mark. It's a thing.
I'm telling you. Oh, the earwax got me all freaked out now because one time I accidentally clicked on something of somebody cleaning their ears and all you get it. You see them all the time now. And people, I don't know how you live for that. They pull out like things that are.
Hold on. One more gross
bug
one.
Bug-sized wax out of your ear.
I had that happen to me.
Since we're on the subject.
That happened to me, Mark.
My wife has this little, she's a nurse, so I trust her to do this stuff. She has one of those little like lit things that connects to your phone and you can go in and clean, you know, if you trust yourself, right?
I just use a Q-tip.
She's like, she goes, I wanted to, well, all that does is packs it in. She goes, I want to try this out. Will you let me? Within like 2 minutes, she goes, what the hell is wrong with you? And is pulling out like enormous chunks of earwax. She goes, how are you hearing anything that is going on around you? True story.
Mark Cabali, everybody.
I'm a big earwax cleaning guy.
Did your son get picked up by a flag football team? By
no,
the way?
No, but he's, no, he got left out, but it was out of, wait, what am I looking for? The correct word. It was filled up by the time, but he is now just signed up for real tackle football. Got the practice uniform
for
yesterday.
The first time he's going to play tackle.
He's going to play against Dorenskin.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
So he's doing 100 push-ups a night.
He can't do one.
Which is 80 more than Callis and Bechtold did the other day.
But your son's Jefferson Hill's strong.
Yeah, he's definitely left guard, left.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.